This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on the Trocare College Live Line this morning, Buffalo Mayor Chris Scanlon, who just delivered a State of the City address last night. Mayor, thanks for being on with us this morning. All right, State of the City, we've been hearing parts of it throughout the morning. It included a few announcements of new departments that the city's looking to open up to address some issues. But kind of generally, is the State of the City strong in your mind?
Well, thanks for having me this morning, Susan and Brian. I appreciate it. Yeah, I do. I think the state of the city is strong, but we, like I said last night, we certainly have challenges ahead of us. But we are looking at those challenges as an opportunity to get even stronger. You know, we have financial concerns ahead of us that we're addressing day in, day out, and doing everything we can, working with our partners in government to make sure that we are strong. And I think the only way that we stay strong and get even stronger is by working together. The city, the county, the state, federal government, our nonprofit sector, our private sector, and our residents. And if we do that, Buffalo will remain strong for years to come.
Mayor, when are we going to know what the city deficit is? It seems like the elephant in the room. I've heard estimates anywhere from $15 to $60 million. When might we know that?
Yeah, you know, obviously the number constantly moves based on certain things. I will tell you, that number is probably closer to your second number. It's tens of millions of dollars. But that number is ultimately what that number will end up being for our budget next year will depend on things that happen in the next couple weeks. You know, I talk about partnership a lot, collaboration a lot. We have legislation in front of the New York State Legislature that would provide us tens of millions of dollars to help us adjust this budget at no cost to any Buffalo taxpayers. And so we're looking for support from our state delegation. The Assembly Majority Leader, Crystal Peoples Stokes, has been extremely helpful pushing this legislation forward. And I hope that the rest of the delegation follows her lead, because we're all talking about how we want Buffalo to be the best version of itself. And it's only when we're working together and passing these pieces of legislation that's going to help alleviate some of the stress on our budget.
We've seen across Western New York, a lot of municipalities have to raise taxes, some of them very significantly, to deal with budget issues. You know, what's been happening in Buffalo has been described over and over again as a fiscal crisis. Would you describe this as a Buffalo fiscal crisis, or is Buffalo simply dealing with what every municipality across Western New York is dealing with right now?
I think we're dealing with things that municipalities are dealing with, similar things. You know, and but there's ways for us to get out of this, though. As I mentioned, this legislation, a couple pieces of legislation we have in Albany, if we pass those, there'll be a huge boost to our budget. And we have tools at our disposal. And we've been working day in and day out on our budget. We've been holding the line on spending this fiscal year, told the departments to come back with a reduction in their spending for next year, looking at curbing all that spending. But also on the revenue side of things, we're looking to bring in as much revenue as possible. We have a revenue problem. We don't have a spending problem. So as long as we continue to work together and produce these revenues and get creative, we'll be okay.
You are proposing a 3% hotel tax. I feel like the city has tried this before. What happened then, and why would it work now?
Yeah, I think last time maybe it was rushed at the last minute a little bit. We're having conversations earlier on. We're having conversations with a wider spectrum of people. In addition to that, last year it was a 5% tax. This year it's a 3% tax we're proposing. You know, people come and visit the city of Buffalo and use our infrastructure and things like that, use our services, and I think they should help us pay for that. It's no different than if you travel the country. If you get your hotel bill and take a look at it, the number of fees that are on there, you'll see that it's not different in a lot of places across the country.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
One of the things that you mentioned is a small business cabinet, focusing on revitalizing maybe even downtown Buffalo. You know, we saw another restaurant closing downtown right in the theater district again this week. How concerning is that for you to see the struggling of businesses, especially restaurants, in what should be a pretty vibrant area of the city?
Yeah, we have to have a thriving downtown. A thriving downtown provides the opportunity to invest in our other commercial corridors as well. And so not having 25 or so thousand people down there a day that we used to post-COVID is a problem. We've taken the lead at the City of Buffalo. I've taken the lead making sure that all of our employees are back at City Hall, contributing to the vibrancy of downtown, or asking our private partners to try and encourage their employees to get back. I've had very encouraging conversations with some of our largest employers downtown who are requiring their employees to come back to the office and contribute to downtown. But we've got to make downtown a place people want to be at 4, 5, 6 o'clock. So we've got to create some excitement, create some activity, and we're working with all those partners to do that. And I think working together and converting some office space, getting some people living down there will help contribute to that thriving community.
What about a store downtown after Bray Miller's exit? The fact that people are living down there, but there's not a grocery store.
Correct. And just because Bray Miller didn't work out, you know, obviously it was a terrible time, you know, trying to open up with the pandemic hitting us. It really made it untenable for Mr. Bray Miller or Mr. Green. But I can tell you, we are having conversations with other people. The Bray Miller site, it's not owned by us. It's a privately owned property. So it's very difficult for us to get in there and do something there. But we are absolutely having conversations with different store owners about the possibility about coming downtown.
Are you a little irked by that conversation at all? I wonder that at times, because I feel like you mentioned this is a privately owned building. How does this become a city's problem? A lot of the comments I hear is, well, the city should get this, the city should get that. Well, I mean, the city doesn't really force any business to open up in Buffalo. What is the city's role, in your mind, in attracting something like a grocery store into downtown?
I think we've got to give them the canvas to where they want to come and they want to open up a business. So we've got to create a safe environment, a clean environment where people are activated and people are out and about and they'll have an opportunity to shop at their store. We can't ask them to come in and save the world if we're not willing to do our part. So from the City of Buffalo standpoint, creating a safe, clean environment where people want to conduct business.
Are you confident that you will get that loan, more than $500,000 loan that Bray Miller received, that you'll get that back?
The Buffalo Urban Renewal Agency voted last week for that loan to come back, that grant to come back. I don't know where the third line for payment. I don't know if a sale on that building, I'm not sure what that yields on the market now, considering the market, but hopefully it comes back, but I'm not certain we'll see that money or not.
Budget proposal due in just a couple of weeks here. But judging from what you said about things going on in Albany and from what we've heard out in Albany, it doesn't seem like they're passing a budget imminently. I mean, are you going to have enough information? What might this budget proposal look like if it might be reliant on some help from the state?
Yes, so we're going to continue to have conversations with our state partners, with the governor's office right up to the last minute. We're kind of preparing for both situations. Once we get there, hopefully the state budget is in on time. It can happen quickly there. There's been conversations there about moving things forward. I know that. Hopefully it's done on time. But come April 8th, we'll have a budget ready to go that pushes the city of Buffalo forward.
Mayor, thank you for joining us.